I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for Tour de Suisse Stage 4. I would say one of the better mountain stages of the season. Very quickly goes into the top three, I think. Really interesting stage design, particularly in a one-week race. And I think the organizers got it right with this balance with the TTs. That being said, there is nothing better than a bit of GC parity. You know, there's nothing better than a lot of guys being on a similar level. A lot of guys being the traditional rider of shit TT-er, best climber in the race. Guys climbing not very well, guys with the best TT in the race. So we missed that with the Jonas Pog Roglic sort of guys. This stage had that all. And the profile, which I've already alluded to from Monte to Luca, about 153 kilometers, first 80Ks flat. Then they do a long Crans-Montana climb from 400 meters. They gain about 1,100 meters altitude, 15K, 6.7%. The first 8Ks are harder. Descent, roller, another valley. And then the, basically, they call it all the Hohenweg climb as one climb, but the real, the main climb is 8Ks, 8.6%, the first climb. And then it's like a stepped up and down climb to the finish that's mostly uphill, just with some pauses in it. So on the other hand, Benji, you could say, oh, why would you put this in the race? It's just going to be a, it's too far from the finish. It's going to be a group sprint, which is what I thought it might be yesterday.
I agree, because likely a lot of the time the teams just don't have the balls to do stuff what might have happened on the stage instead, because usually they'd say, oh, it's far from the finish, like you said, we're not going to make a move here, it's risky. What if we attack and get countered by the end of the stage? Then we lose our chance in GC. But fortunately, there was a team today that decided to throw it all on the table and did some stuff, and that's what made the stage great. But before we get there, let's talk about the breakaway, because we had a breakaway of 10 riders: Narváez, Vermaeke, The Wolves, Bragli, Calmejon, Mas, Inkhorn, Mozzato, Arndt, and Impey. Two of those riders will be important for the stage, which is, first of all, we've got The Wolf for Aas Gezair, and next to that, Arndt for Bahrain Victorious. Basically, we fast forward, we get to Crans-Montana, or the opposite side of Crans-Montana than the one we had before in the Giro. Mader attacks on that climb very early on, and he basically bridges on that climb to the breakaway, where he's got his teammate, Nikias Arndt. So we've got a bit of satellite rider action here. I'll be honest, I did not have the confidence in this move, because the breakaway was being controlled by the peloton. It was roughly 2 minutes, the breakaway ahead, 2 minutes 30, 3 minutes max. And if I see that, and I see that so many teams are able to get a stage win at the end of the stage, and there's incentive for certain teams to try and do something anyway, then I didn't really believe in the breakaway, especially when the peloton kept pacing behind him. Trek was initially controlling at the start of the stage. Quickstep was doing something throughout the stage. But in all honesty, I didn't see that move working. That being said, he was in the breakaway, and we got to the last portion of the race, the portion that matters. And to set the scene, I think the gap to the breakaway was roughly a minute 30 to a minute 20 once we started the last climbing section. I'm not saying the last climb, because I can't classify this as a last climb, right? With 17 climbs in one.
It's very odd. It's quite an unusual finish, just because it's, I'm trying to think what it reminds me of, because it's not like Trecimi, but it's very interesting. It's actually, this is the textbook stage for a satellite rider, right? Because you have a steep climb before of over 25 minutes duration, or maybe 25 minutes duration, over 8.5%. You have no flat, and then you have a lot of 4 to 6, 7% gradients to the finish, including pedaling descents. That is the textbook where a fresh Castroviejo, a fresh Nelson Oliveira, a fresh Wout van Aert, or a fresh any, not a fresh, they've been in the break, but a rider that can give you some shielding from the wind on 4-5%, they can go for a period of time.
Yeah, like
just as fast or faster than a top GC contender chasing behind on 4-5%.
Pervaco on Sierra Nevada is a perfect example because that was a climb that had the steepest section at the start. It's obviously a much harder climb than the one we have here on paper, but a steeper section at the start and then a more 6% gradient towards the end of the climb. So you know that a satellite rider will be more useful in the area where the draft is more present. Anyway, we saw the possibility here with the Wolf being ahead and so forth. You spoke yesterday about Ajazer that they should try and light the stage up early because Felix Gull is not close in GC because he lost a minute in the initial time trial, a 13-kilometer time trial. He lost a minute in time trial. Now, he has to do something on the climbing parts where he seemingly was one of the strongest riders so far, right?
Exactly. I was thinking, okay, you just showed yesterday you're at worst the third best climber. You're probably the best pure climber in this race, maybe equal with Skelmoser. And you've lost, as you said, on the half distance TT, a minute. So you're going to lose another 2 minutes to Remco and maybe a minute and a half to Skelmoser if things don't improve for you on the stage 8 TT. So you're actually right now, you're down because he was a minute down, a minute 05 down on the stage. Right now on Skelmoser, he's 2.5 minutes down. And this is teams don't do this enough, which is to accept reality. And with Roglic and Thomas in the Giro, that was difficult. That weird TT, who the fuck knows is going to happen? With this stage 8 TT, it's very clear. Okay, it might be a minute 20. It might be a minute 40. Gull is going to get his doors blown off in that TT unless they give him a different bike and get him in the Zurich, the Bern. Can they go to Bern to do where the molecules, they smash the atoms together, the nanoparticle accelerator? Is that close to this region in Switzerland? Can they get him there in time? Is Bern in Switzerland? You shake his mind.
Yes, it is.
Thank fuck. Okay. Unless they can do that, he is going to be shelling time. And so you have to act accordingly. Yeah. Don't act like you're a minute 5 down. Act
and
like
not just
you're 2:30 down.
Also, not solely on Skelmoser, because we said yesterday, Remco Evenepoel before the stage is in the position that he's the favorite for this race still, because he's so close to Skelmoser in GC, and he gained time on Skelmoser in the first time trial, that he's probably going to do that again in the last time trial. And therefore, both Gull and Skelmoser need to gain time on the Remco as well to be able to get themselves in a more favorable position to end up winning this race by the end. But Ajay Dozer started with a plan. The Wolf in the breakaway was part of that. He was already dropping from the breakaway during the first portion of the climb we are talking about. And we see Ajay Dozer not really doing much on the starting 2 kilometers of this climb, but then we see them on the right popping up in the peloton. And I was like, ooh, Felix Gull is alive. And suddenly, the shot changes to the breakaway, and it changes back, and we've got that two-step rocket flying off from the peloton. We've got Chirel basically doing an attack lead-out with Felix Gull towards the Wolf. I love this stuff. I gotta be honest about it. I saw it, and I was like, this is in my top 3 stages of the year.
Yeah. Really, like, it's really good to see hard lead-outs like that. I think the way people are attacking is changing. If you saw Jumbo Visma in the Dauphiné, it's not pace for as long as possible. It's actually like, if you're the best climber, they think Gull's the best. Just get Chirel and DeWolf to pace at a ridiculous pace for like 2-3 minutes, blow everyone's doors off. And then Gull continues, and every other domestique has also had their doors blown off behind. And then you end up having Kevin Vermaeke chasing Felix Gull. So that's, and also you can induce group 2 syndrome if you actually get separation. So I was surprised that he was so much better today, frankly, because Skelmoser beat him yesterday. They did about equal work. Like, Skelmoser could have gone with him when he first attacked. So
yeah.
Gull clearly, maybe the climb before Crans-Montana, bit more, like yesterday was a really, really easy stage. The numbers, by the way, from that, when you consider it was a climb to low altitude, it was like a Jebel Hafeet level almost ease of stage beforehand. It wasn't an outrageous performance yesterday, and I haven't seen the numbers from this stage, but I would guess with how tight that break was kept in check, with that length of Crans Montana beforehand, they would have done some more kilojoules before this climb today. And Gull was then better than Schelmoser. Schelmoser couldn't respond. Or Benji, was Schelmoser just in defense mode and thinking, well, I don't need to respond to Felix Gull when he's on 20 seconds, 30 seconds, or even 40 seconds?
I think it's a combination of both. The factor that Schelmoser was probably not expecting Gull to attack from 2 kilometers into that climb with 20 kilometers left in the stage, with climbing still to come, an all-out move with a teammate and Sothov. What is Schelmoser going to do? Try and bridge and risk getting countered by all the other competitors surrounding him that are closer in GC, because Remco is closer in GC and Sothov. So if Schelmoser starts bridging then towards that move of two riders from Ajazair, then we're like, well, then maybe he loses a bit of energy for when another move comes. So I don't necessarily mind that he didn't respond in full force directly to the move of Gull, because next to that, you said it, he's not close in GC, Felix Gull. He's on a minute, roughly, of GC at the start of the stage, so you can give him quite some time, knowing that that time trial is coming that you also spoke about. Then you can give him maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes even, worst case scenario, and you still have a chance of winning the race. And Evenepoel is on paper still the favorite in that scenario,
yeah,
and not Schelmoser. So I think Schelmoser was way more thinking about, how do I figure out how to drop the guys surrounding me, or how to stay with the guys surrounding me to keep myself in the competition of winning this race. But Gull's gap started increasing. We're talking about a minute on this peloton now. He had bridged to the breakaway. He had dropped everybody in the breakaway, and that gap was a minute. And then it kind of stayed to a standstill for a bit, a standstill where Remco kept on dropping in that second group, right?
Remco, when there were accelerations, he would drop. Have we said that Ayuso and Pidcock are like in the Shadow Realm?
We haven't said that, but they are in Narnia now.
They're gone, like never to be seen again. Unfortunately for them. And yeah, Remco kind of kept dropping a little bit. Remco definitely rode the final of this race smarter. Vamarka had paced for DSM and Bardet. Sharkman, I think, had paced maybe a little bit for Jan Oterbrooks, the young GC leader for Bora Hansgrohe. And Gull is behind all of these guys on GC. So, and not all of them do have a killer TT like Remco, or an above average TT like Schelmoser. So Bilbao, Kelderman, Izagirre, Uran, they... And that's actually what we did see a little bit. I think Bilbao did try to get guys to work. And what I could see was Bilbao and Kelderman wanted to thin the group out. They were the strongest with Bardet. But because the others weren't working, they didn't want to just drag them all the way to the line. Schelmoser was not pulling at all at this mm-hmm. point. Ended up probably being the smart thing to do. But yeah, Gull, there's not much more to say, Benji, from his perspective. He just rides away and wins the stage easily. Like, the gap just keeps expanding because of group two syndrome. I actually came down a little bit at the end. But yeah, because the other guys, despite not being fully on the limit, they were all mm-hmm. holding back against each other. He won by a minute. But going back to that group, there was some interesting stuff in there. Lazcano was still in the group. And
how?
Attack? I don't know. I thought no, they've mislabeled him. It's like Pedrera or someone.
Like, to be clear, Lazcano is the dude that was super strong in Dwarsdorf-Vlaanderen in the breakaway together with Krzysztof and almost ended up winning because he still got third or something. That Lazcano was here in the mountain stage attacking the group with Remco Evenepoel and Sothov, the second group, trying to bridge to Felix Gull. He failed in doing that and got caught and park edged, but it was amazing to see Lazcano there. But I also need to give credit to Bardet, because this was the most offensive rider in the entire stage, I feel like, outside of Gull. He kept on attacking.
Didn't pull with Bilbao and Wilco to close the gap. Conserved energy. Attacked them way over his limit. Stopped. Was caught by Wilco and Bilbao. Wilco was pacing him. Bear in mind, they're trying to catch Gull, who's behind Bardet or just ahead of him on GC. We're just coming up to like the second last little climb, and then there's a really fast descent afterwards. And they were 20 seconds or 15 seconds ahead of Remco, who was pacing the group behind. Refused to pull with Wilco. I was like, you do know that Remco is going to come back. He's chew-chewing. Bilbao, if you let Bilbao with you two rip this descent, and Remco has to pace the descent behind, you're going to open the gap up even more and completely cook Remco. And then he attacks over the crest after he'd been just sitting on again to just get caught in the descent again by Bilbao. And then on the final, he attacked into the final. Now, maybe you could say, well, he's got to move up on GC. I was like, well, Ayuso, there's other riders who were already dropped ahead of him on GC, Izagirre, and other riders he was dropping like Remco. Like, he could have been moving way up in GC if he worked with Kelderman and Bilbao. So I don't really...
Well,
I don't know. I don't really know what he's doing. I know they're ahead of him on GC, so why should he work with Wilco and Bilbao? But yeah, he's still gaining time on like 7, 8 other people if he works with them.
He could have gained more time and passed Ayuso, for example, but he also could have secured more time in advance of the time trial against the likes of a Sheffield, who, shockingly, after this stage, is still 8 seconds behind Bardet. But continuing the story about the stage, Schelmoza for a second again. After the stage ended, he spoke about what he was doing in the group, and he said that he was trying to give the jersey to Felix Gall in an attempt to not have the leader jersey in Trek for the coming days.
Are we doing this in 1 week? Crisis now. Well, I mean, he played it exactly perfectly because he basically does the last K is 5%. He does a big surge with Remco on his wheel. Remco actually had better tactics today based on his legs. And he brings back Bardet. And then Remco opens up his big sprint to take the 6 bonus seconds. And Schelmoza comes third. So that was 102 from Gall to Remco. 103 just a second behind Schelmoza. Then Oserbrooks, Kelderman, Bilbao. And then Bardet actually lost more time. And big changes on GC. As you said, Gall goes into the leader's jersey 2 seconds ahead of Schelmoza. So, I mean, if he drew it up that way, credit to him. That's very good timing. Evenepoel drops down a spot as well. Now third on GC on 16 seconds. Bilbao on 57 seconds. Kelderman in fifth on 112. Ayuso still on sixth, despite I didn't even see him cross the line, on 118. Bardet in seventh, just ahead 1 second of Oosterbroeks. Yeah, who he dropped, so he could have gained more time there. Sheffield in ninth, Uran in 10th.
About Oosterbroeks, I wanna scold Schalkman for a second. Schalkman should be rejected his breakfast tomorrow.
Oh, really? Why?
He was in the group with Oosterbroeks for such a long time with Ayuso behind, with so many people behind, in the same way that Bardet was trying to gain time on people and didn't get the best out of it. Schalkman did not pace for Oosterbroeks. Instead, he started rolling attacks on the group. The dude's 2 minutes behind in GC. Oosterbroeks is on 1 minute. Just ride for your teammate, dude. I know that seemingly Buchmann and Schalkman, German riders that end on man, don't want to work for other riders, but Oosterbroeks literally can top five this race, and you're actively trying to make sure he doesn't.
Yeah, but he got paid a lot of money after 2019, Benji, you understand.
Well, that's why you should get the team worse results.
Yeah. Anyway, a really, really interesting stage. In the end, the favorites of GC haven't actually changed too much because of that final time trial, but it sets up, it's better to have 1 minute in the pocket today because tomorrow's stage, it could really kick off early again. I mean, this is a ridiculous stage. Look at this. From Fisch to La Punte, 211 Ks with three 2,000 meter passes. The first is the Furka pass, 16.5 Ks, 6.4% to 2,400. Descent, Oberal pass, 10.7 Ks, 5.6%. That's not the hardest, the 2,000. Then a long valley, really long valley of like 100 kilometers actually, before the Albula pass. 17.5 Ks, 7%. The first, there's like ramps of, there's 2 Ks, 9% the first bit. Then it's consistently 7% up to 2,300 meters and the descent to the finish. What do you reckon happens tomorrow, Benji? I reckon Gull should go.
Of course.
I don't know. Can
you
go on
try
the first climb?
Get the fuck out of here.
Why not?
It's all going to be down to the last climb, man. Like, there's the gap between the second climb and the last climb is gigantic. It's like a bloody 100 kilometers. So it's going to be on the Albula pass. The action, that's 17.4K, 7%. Then let's set the scene for a second of what needs to happen. Schelmoza and Gall need to find a way to gain more time on Remco Evenepoel. And Gaul needs to find more time on Skelmorze. So Skelmorze and Gaul need to first collaborate in trying to drop an Emke Evenepoel for good on this climb. And then afterwards, Gaul needs to get Skelmorze dropped, otherwise he can't win this race.
See, the thing is, I don't know if can he take. I mean, this is a much, much harder. He took a minute on the climb today, right? And it was 8Ks, 7%, or 7Ks, 7.8Ks, 8.6% to 1,294 meters. Tomorrow's climb is twice as hard because it's twice as long and it's to double the altitude.
We can't solely look at today's stage, though, because the day before, Villars-sur-Holon, we had them both being together after 10.7 kilometers at 8%. So I believe the initial gap, the initial separation that Gaul had was a big influence on the fact that he took 1 minute in the first place. So if Skelmorze just stays on Gaul's wheel for the entire stage, then I don't believe he can take a minute on Skelmorze tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. What is it, stage six? Oh, no, stage five. And then stage six are like, they're nothing. Stage seven, nothing. They're kind of punchy T-Bone-ace, called T-Bone-ace stages now, even though he's not here. I don't know why he's not here.
Not for art stages?
Yeah, true. He should win one of them. I think, where was Clément Berthet today?
No clue, but I don't know. Cheryl did the job.
I reckon they're going to try be aggressive on the first climb. I really do. Because to 2,400 meters, you drop people and you have a cooperating group. The problem is the breakaway won't be formed enough ahead of them. So how are you going to ride 100K valley on your own? That's the problem. I don't know. Do you reckon the break will win then? Because who's going to chase it in that valley?
Yeah. Good question. Because if at some point, Trek is going to start pacing. They're still in the lead. So it's going to depend on the riders that are in the breakaway. And if I look at GC, then a lot of riders are still too close to be in the breakaway in the first place. So I think the gap will be held on roughly 6 minutes, roughly, if I take a look at the GC at the moment. Because that would allow the likes of a Gino Maeder of Wasar, for example, a Narvaez, a Rui Costa maybe, those type of riders being in the breakaway, Hugo Uhl, even Pidcock could get in the breakaway on 17 minutes, to be fair, and try and win the stage from the breakaway, because it ends right in a descent. I'm just thinking about the descent, and I'm like, ooh! But outside of that, therefore I think that the break can win. I don't know, man. The break
I think
on
Felix
paper
Gaul
should
wins.
Win this. You think Felix Gaul wins?
Yeah, because they got to go again. They got to take more time. They got to go again.
Yeah, but Stand this wolf. Stage, it was easier to keep the peloton close to the breakaway. On the next stage, I don't believe that's going to be as easy.
Thunderwolf, buddy, got some bad news for you, but you'll be riding a valley for about 2 hours tomorrow.
But if you are thinking about tomorrow's stage, is there a team that you see trying to put someone in the breakaway on the mountains that are starting the stage? Knowing that it's going to be hard to control for Trek Segafredo at the start of the stage. Because I'm looking at 3 minutes back.
Ace on the leader's jersey, though.
What if Shockman goes in the breakaway on 3 minutes in GC? What if... I don't know. What am I looking at here?
I mean, Berthet should try and go. Just jump. That's very strange. He only finished today 156 down in the stage. So he wasn't like completely washed. Maybe they try something with Berthet. I think AG2R got to be aggressive again and throw everything out at it. And that's why I think Gaul will win, because he was the best day on not that hard a climb, and tomorrow will be even harder. And the others don't look so good. And I think Skelmorze will again be like, well, we're now equal on GC. I can let you take another 50 seconds and back myself to bring that back in the TT on, or even to take some bonus seconds in stage 6 and 7 and then win the TT or beat you in the TT later. And Remco as well. He'll be thinking the same thing. So yeah, all to play for in the Tour de Suisse, a nice balanced GC battle, and I think should be, I mean, I'm hoping for another aggressive stage tomorrow. Is there any other news, Benji? There's the Giro, it's called the Giro Next Gen. They've rebranded it, Giro, Baby Giro, I'm going to call it. Stan Mittet won. There was just a big mountaintop finish on Stelvio today. Mm-hmm. He beat Darren Rafferty and Alexi Four Prost, who I was not aware of. That's a 19-year-old on Circus, so I'll be checking him out. So that's a decent performance from him. Yeah. And Groenewegen won Tour of Slovenia at stage one sprint against Bauhaus and Moschetti. That's not the, you know, doesn't change too much for me.
Yeah. And next to that, Astana took a billion points in the Asian Cycling Continental Championship somehow that gives the same amount of points as the European ones, even though the start list is
Hey, Oceania's, baby. Oceania's Continental Championships, they give lots of points too.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't think much happened outside of this race, to be honest.
That's all. Okay, we're back with the recap of Stage 5 tomorrow, and hopefully there's big GC action into the Swiss. Until then, ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.